Hello, and welcome to the Living Open podcast for mystics and seekers. I'm your host, Erin. I'm a Philly-based healing artist and witch. And today I have a really beautiful interview for you with Shauna Bryant. I'm going to keep this intro very short for a few reasons, and mostly because I just moved to a new apartment last night. And if you could see my room right now where I'm recording this from, you would be horrified. It's just boxes everywhere. So anyways, I need to get to unpacking, and this interview really speaks for itself. So Shauna is a breathwork meditation guide and a Pilates instructor and just a lovely, delightful person. In this episode, we talk about, of course, her journey of coming into meditation and breathwork and her work as a Pilates instructor. We get into being seen and putting yourself out there in healing work, navigating shitty marketing and the shame of the fitness world, navigating the relationship with the body, getting into the body, connecting to the body, body acceptance. It's a lot about the body. We also talk about hiding behind busyness, her Leo energy, her background with religion, especially as a queer person, finding belonging, being unapologetic about who you are, being okay with disappointing people, and a lot more. So I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed having this conversation with Shauna. And just a couple of notes before we get into the interview. I wanted to give some gratitude to our new Patreon supporters, Brie Picari, Senta Peterson, Arlen Fernandez, Jessica Colbert, Van, and Olivia Arnone. Thank you so much for joining the community. I'm so happy to have you. And if you'd like to join us over there for a big archive of self-healing practices and new content every month, you can at the link in the description. For July, I'm definitely going to be doing a breathwork meditation for the new moon, and I'm not sure what else yet. So join, stay tuned if that feels good to you. And I also have a free Cancer Season breathwork playlist and intro to breathwork video for you. If you'd like to check that out, you can also go to the link in the description. I feel like everyone's gonna wanna do some breathwork after this. You can get that playlist. Definitely breathe with Shauna. Yeah, all the things. You know where to find them all, always in the description. But without further ado, here is my conversation with Shauna. I'd like to start the show by hearing about your journey to getting to where you are. So I would love for you to share that with us.
So let's see. I am a Pilates instructor. That's my full-time job. And I really, like 4 years ago, my goal was to open a Pilates studio. So I was just doing a lot of research, and this is maybe even more than 4 years ago, but I would go to like LA, where I'm from, I'd go home, or I'd go up to New York, and I'd just like take as many classes as I could because I wanted to be part of like all the cool fitness things. And I was like a cardio psycho back then, so just book my classes and go. And I kept seeing breathwork on menus, like on like class lists, you know, and or like what are they called, schedules. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what that is. And like at the time, I was like really having like a struggle with like meditating, even like I couldn't drop in at all. Like I have a really busy brain. Like I think I'm a naturally hyper person. So for like someone to tell me to sit down and just like, you know, breathe in and hear soft music, I was like, I can't do this ever, ever. Right. So anyway, so I kept seeing breathwork on schedules and it was kind of in my mind. And at the same time, like I said, I have a really busy personality. I was really trying to find a meditation that worked for me. So I did the transcendental meditation training. Like I thought I was going to be like every fitness person I'd heard or worshipped was like TM, you know, a TM person. And it was like how they like focused and how they were successful. And I was like, obviously this is for me. And so I did that training. And like the one thing that I took out of it, which if you want to talk about like paths and why things were supposed to be, is that I realized that if I could just get people to sit down for a second and just like close their eyes or just take like one or two deep breaths, it would make a huge difference. Like just a huge difference. So fast forward to the world of breathwork floating around in my head. My clients, after my transcendental training, where I was supposed to be meditating for 20 minutes twice a day, the one thing I took from that is that when my clients come into their sessions, you know, having like dealt with parking and traffic and their jobs and blah, 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 I would just go, okay, like just sit down for a second and like just take a couple deep breaths. Like, and they were like, you know, they're equally, like, I think we attract our mirrors, you know, so these are also kind of intense people. And they like roll their eyes, you know, and like slam their stuff down. And take like two deep breaths. And then like, I do feel better. I was like, I know.
Yeah.
It was insane to me that that made such a big difference. So I started going to this healer. So we actually have tons to talk about, by the way. I grew up very religious.
We do have a lot to talk about.
So you'll understand the context of this. So I was just having like a really, like I was dating and like nothing was working out. And I was like, you know, turning, I think I was probably like 31 and I was just like, oh my goodness. Like there was so much, like, you know, I wasn't married and like I wasn't dating anyone and what am I going to do? And my life didn't look like what I wanted. And I felt like I was being really negative. So a friend and client told me to go to an acupuncturist. My acupuncturist friend and client told me to go to like this healer. And I had such a resistance to all things healing, because I was just like very much programmed to believe that any sort of like tarot witchery was like definitely like a slip and slide straight to hell, right? Like you were going.
Yes.
So, but I was in such like a sad place that I was like, fine, right? And my friend was like, you don't have to believe in any of this shit for it to work. And I was like, all right, deal. So sorry, it's kind of a woven story. But anyway, so I'd been going to this woman for years, like every 6 months I'd go and I don't know what she'd do, but like I'd feel better. And like at one point, like I was like, oh, she's really a magical human. So anyway, so after making my clients breathe on occasion, I was like looking at breath work and I was just like, I can't find any people near me and I'm not going to just go to the class. Maybe I'll just do a training. And so I called this healer woman and I was like, hey, have you ever heard of this thing called breath work? I think I'm going to do a training because I'm like teaching people. I'm kind of getting my clients to breathe and I think it'll help them like lung capacity. I was like really on the sports end. And she's like, yeah, we've been doing breath work this whole time. And I was like, oh, okay. So do you think I should do it then? She's like, absolutely. I'm like, okay. So I signed up. I like looked at all these trainings and I did like my usual thing where I like looked at all the trainings. There were a bunch of them that were like $15,000 and that were going to take like 8 months. And I was like, nope. One was like somewhere far. Another involved ice water. No.
That's a no.
You can't see my thumbs down on the podcast, but I'm like I'm in a puffy coat at 72 degrees. Like I'm really a Californian. I can't do it. So I wasn't going to do that one. And then I came across this podcast with this woman, Michelle Diavella. And she was talking about breathwork. And it's funny, I've like emailed her about this, but like, I definitely heard like three sentences of her podcast and was like, ew, hate this woman. You know, I was like, I had such like a visceral response. I was like, don't like her at all. But in like the first, I swear to God, three sentences of her podcast before I decided I just couldn't listen to another word. She's mentioned David Elliott. And I was like, and I wrote the name down. So I like looked his training up and it was like I could do all three trainings in 1 week in New Mexico rather than going to New York three times or to LA a bunch of times, which I mean I love going home, but like I'm a Pilates instructor. I don't have vacation time. You know what I mean? Like if I'm not working, I'm not earning. And I was like, well, I can't do this. So his training wasn't $15,000 and I was like done. And I like, it's funny, I emailed him and I was like, hey, I'm thinking about signing up. And he was like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll probably still have space. And I was like, probably still have space? What? I will not be, you know what I mean? I will not be kept out. So it was like such a crazy idea to me. But yeah, that's it. I went to training in New Mexico. Totally changed my life. I'm still really, really good friends with my two roommates, which is something that's, I think, really unique for being an adult, to go some to like sleepaway camp basically, and like you're still like best friends with your roommates, like who are also grown, fully developed women. we're like insanely close. Like I really love them like siblings. So yeah, that's been it. I think I've been leading breathwork for about 2 years now, and that's been exciting. It's been interesting with, you know, the quarantine. I've always been leading groups online just because for me, doing in-person work with Pilates, like the idea of being able to lead clients online was such an amazing idea. I felt like such freedom to me that I kept trying to like push my online groups, and people would be like, I'd rather come in person. And so it's been interesting with quarantine because now like all of my like DC clients who would never come to my online groups, like they just like, I see everyone slowly like just signing in like, with their blankets and all their stuff, you know?
Yeah.
This is great. I'm like, yeah, duh. Like I would just lie to you and be like, no, it's the same. I promise. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, that's my journey now. I'm at home in DC teaching Pilates and breathwork online and, you know, trying to shine my light out there a little bit more. It's interesting because I've been in two groups in the last week where people were like, oh, like I was taking one group and I was leading another, and people were like, oh, I had no idea that there were people of color leading breath work and da 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 da. And I was like, you know, it's weird, like somebody else's group, you don't want to like unmute yourself like, hi, there's more of us.
Yeah.
Can't do that, that's rude. So I was just like so I don't know, I think I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, I need to put myself out there a little bit more, maybe try and keep my light a little bit brighter. I think that's something we all kind of struggle with, like, you know, trying to market and trying to be trying to still be genuine but also let people know that you're about business. It's a delicate dance, right?
It definitely is. And I'm so glad that you are shining your light out there. I wouldn't have found you if you weren't. So
yeah, right. It's been interesting. Yeah. And I think there's like also like awesome people like Corpus Ritual. Like I think I did a session with her like years ago, and I'm like that clingy person where I'm like, okay, we're friends now. You know, just good news. Good news, Jenny. I made you this friendship bracelet. You know, I'm really a clingy person. So yeah, but she's been really awesome for like helping me get, you know, people to notice me a little bit more. They've been fun allies for stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, how's that feeling? I feel like I feel this all the time, like that sort of struggle around, it's like it's just really vulnerable, I think, like putting mm-hmm. yourself out there in that way. And I get that from a lot of other people that I talk with too, that like that's, it's scary and it's a process. So yeah, how's that feeling for you?
Especially I think because it's a healer business, like I think which is why I joined this training. Can I say like I joined this like business training a couple of months ago because I really wanted like to not feel bad about telling people about my things, right? Because ultimately we're helping. Like I am helping people be more confident. I'm helping people be more connected to themselves. You know, we're helping them create better relationships with their loved ones. Like we are doing good things. You know, it's not like I'm selling something not, I guess, life fulfilling. So I guess, I don't know. It is weird. To try and do that. But also I think it's like having a little bit of like a marketing background. Like I wanted breathwork to be so precious. And I wanted to just treat it like this like delicate, you know, happy flowery thing. And then for me, it's been really an adjustment to realize that I can take a lot of my like marketing skills and add them into the breathwork world, specifically because I'm helping people and not because of like the way I've seen marketing before, which just like, you know, hard sales. So
yeah, I really feel that. I feel like it feels so weird because I feel like I have an association with marketing and selling that's like, it's sleazy, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's about like creating some weird problem, but then you're selling the solution mm-hmm. to, and it's just like so icky. And mm-hmm. I really have to tell myself that and remember that like, this helps people. And if that stops being my intention, then that's a big fucking problem. But as long as that's the intention, then like I need to be sharing it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's it. Agreed. Yeah. I think I have it written somewhere on one of my little like boards over here. I was like, you know what? By helping more people, I can help more people. That's my, that's the whole goal. Because otherwise, yeah, you're right. Like, I think being in like fitness and retail, like, I think it's just so easy to not, it's easy to feel like any sort of promotion is that it's like almost predatory. It's like, you know, catch people when they're low and offer them, you know, like the cash wrap, right? Like, oh, are you sad today? Do you want my product? Like, you know, we're not doing that, but it just, I don't know. I think it's, yeah, it's a tough to, it's tough to try and navigate that, especially if that's your, you know, if that's your sales background.
Yeah. Well, I think something I'm curious about too with you is like, of course you have said like you're a Pilates instructor as your full-time work. And I mean, it's so interesting, like all the work that you do is around the body just in like these different ways. So I want to ask you about that too, but I'm thinking specifically about how so much of the fitness industry like wants you to hate yourself really. And like, that's why you need to work out and those kinds of things. So yeah, I'm just curious about your thoughts about that, navigating that kind of space.
It is. It's a total guilt trap. It's like, did you have a, you know, did you eat yesterday? Well,
you're bad.
Yeah. Shame, you know, hand slap. Let me show you how to, you know, whatever. And it's like always, you know, yeah, it's fitness is tricky. So I have a weird relationship with fitness, in that I think if this interview had been like 3 months ago, I would have been like confiding that I'm trying to like move away from fitness and I'm going to go to like nursing school. Like I had a whole plan. And now that's kind of different. Because I think after 12 years of teaching Pilates and like 8 of those being self-employed and it really just being a grind, I have become so grateful to be a Pilates instructor. Because any other job that I would have had right now in quarantine, I would have been unemployed. But because I'm a Pilates instructor and I've worked really hard to develop very genuine connections, I've stayed employed with smooth sailing. And so I think that's, it's been like 2 months of me really reflecting and being like, this is better for me. Like this is maybe a good home for me. So we'll see. Ask me in 6 months. But what you were saying about fitness. Yeah. So you know what I did a couple years ago? I unfollowed, I think, almost all fitness accounts. I just did. I unfollowed them. And my old Pilates account, if anyone unfollowed me, I get it. I get it. Like I used to work out so much and I weighed my food and I had this like perfect little body. And yeah, I did that for a long time and I don't do that anymore. And I was like, I'm not gonna be pressured into doing it. I'm not gonna feel like I'm not pretty or I'm not, you know, good enough because I don't look like this thing on the camera, because I know exactly what she's doing with her life and I don't want that life right now. I know what it takes. I'm well aware of what it takes to look like that. It's hard as shit and it's really unattainable. And even for photo shoots, it's like you take like a whole nother level of like, you know, calorie cuts just to look, you know, average in a picture. Like it's just, it's such an unattainable life. And it's not something that ever, like being super thin and being super strong looking, it never ever brought me any of the happiness that I thought I was going to get from it. It didn't bring me, and that's just me, right? I'm not saying that people can't be super happy and super fulfilled. Me personally, when I was working very hard for aesthetics, I wasn't happy. And I don't know. I don't know if, I think my life's changed a lot. I think my mindset's changed a lot. I don't know if I had the time to work out that much and the like energy to actually weigh out all my food. I don't know if maybe I'd be like this in that body and in my mind. I'm not sure if those two could go together, but I know right now I don't have the patience or the devotion. So yeah, it's interesting, but I definitely unfollowed all the accounts. That's your struggle, I highly suggest it, because look at real people for a living. It's really nice.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. It's like we spend, most of us, a lot of time on social media, and it's like if we can create a feed or it's like people who look like us, people who don't look like all of the magazines that we ever mm-hmm. saw, everything on TV, of like yeah. people, that can feel so healing.
It is. And I just, it's like, I think you need that. Like it's, if you spend, I mean, I don't even want to tell you how many hours I spend on social media right now. I'm not proud of it. My phone, you know, your phone does like, does your phone do the thing every Sunday? It's like,
yeah, it does.
Here's how long you were on your phone. And I'm like, I did like a whole day off of social media. How does it, that didn't count at all. How am I still out? I took a whole day off. You know, it's very frustrating. But yeah, like, so I think if we're spending that much time on social media and that's just what our lives are and that's okay, then yeah, find some things that reinforce your life. Find things that encourage you to be happy, things that encourage you to smile at your own reflection, right? Like not things that are going to have you, you know, lifting up a, you know, a half a cookie and putting it down six times, trying to judge yourself. Like why, you know? Like just, I think that's different. I don't know. I have a cousin that does a lot of body awareness work, and I started following her and I was just like, you know what? She's right. Fuck this. Like I'm done. Like I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to drink water. And you know what? I'm going to look how I'm going to look. And that's going to be okay. That's going to be fine. And it was just kind of what it was. I don't know. It was kind of a revolution for me.
Yeah. That's kind of where I feel like I'm at with my body too, and like always trying to move more towards. And I think something shifted for me when I just started feeling angry about how myself and like people, especially like socialized as women or identifying as women, like how we're not supposed to ever be hungry. And it's like for anything, like we're not supposed to desire food, sex, like anything, all the good and delicious things in life. And then I just felt so angry about that. And I was like, I don't care. I am hungry. I'm starving and I want to eat all of it. Mm-hmm. Sex and food and all of those things. And that feels good.
Yeah. Why not? You know, I mean, our world's fucked up. Like, why not just enjoy a few things, right? Like things are so screwed up. Like have an indulgence, enjoy a thing and don't judge yourself for it. Novel, crazy idea here, you know, like fuck it, live it up. Like,
It's like, and we have bodies and we're only here on earth for such a short time. It's like, can we just like experience the good stuff that's here too and not that, like judging ourselves or shaming ourselves for wanting it or enjoying it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true.
And as we're talking about the body, I mean, so much of breath work to me is about connecting with the body and getting into the body and feeling the feelings that are in the body. So I would love to hear a little bit about that for you and your relationship with being in your body and with breath work.
Yeah, I think, so I remember when I was going to that healer originally, the one who I'd been doing breath work with the whole time, she's always like, you need to get grounded. And I was like, don't know what that means. And all right, you know? And she's like, go outside and just put your feet on the ground. And I was like, I'm allergic to grass. Don't dogs pee there. I was like such like a, I was a really tough client. Like I always joke with her.
Everyone can see you roll your eyes right now.
It was real tough. I think I was tough. And I joke with her now. I'm like, I cannot believe you kept seeing me. she's like, no, I knew your soul. I'm like, okay. Because I was like, it's so difficult. But she was always like, you need to get grounded. And at when I was at healer training, I actually like fell down a stair and like wrecked my ankle and like spent the rest of the time, like the rest of the week limping. And I'm like person who brought my running shoes and planned on doing all this stuff. And I could like barely walk. Like it was absurd. And so I think it was also pointed out to me then, like you need to really try and get grounded. And I was like, okay, you guys in this grass, I'm not doing it. So anyways, I came back from breathwork training and I was like, I will go outside. I will press my feet in the ground. I will weird people out. I don't care. I just need to figure this out because I think I was recognizing just how unconnected I had been to my body. I don't even know. It's almost like seeing the world in black and white and then suddenly seeing it in color. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, wow, I missed all of this. Like, what is, you know? So for me, I think breathwork has been a lot about like body acceptance. Like I said, you know, deleting all of the accounts of people who I was like trying to like squat my life into being like, and yeah. And I think it's been about just like kind of connecting with my needs and trying to connect with who I am and trying to learn more about my own intuition and my own gifts. Yeah, I think that's what breathwork's done for me body-wise. Mm. Yeah.
And this kind of reminds me of what you were saying at the beginning of our talk about like being super like this, like sort of that busy energy and frantic energy. Mm-hmm. There's something about breath work and it's like just meditation in general, that there's this slow down and you can't go like this the whole time, like waving my hands around. And you sort of are pulled into presence, and that can be so uncomfortable. It can feel really hard. I think I've been thinking about this and recently really, like, I think because we're all doing this with Corona, like whether we're still working or not, we're not really leaving our homes generally. And so there's sort of this slowdown. We're doing less than we used to, and how uncomfortable that is and how that brings all this stuff up. And I've been realizing how much I use busyness really to like convince myself that I'm enough, like I'm worthy and I'm deserving. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, busyness can be sort of, it can cover things up for a lot of us. So yeah, I guess I'm just curious about what that means to you, like working with busy.
I think we all do in a way, especially city living. Like I think everyone hides behind a packed schedule, you know, it's like, are you happy? I don't know. I'm super busy today. You know, like you don't even bother. Have you eaten? Not yet. It's 5 PM. You know, like you just like, I think there's almost this like, there's this like success meter of busyness. Mm. And I think when we're running around and it's easy to just ignore, right? Like you have to focus on driving, you have to focus on this and this appointment, blah, blah, blah. Like I think it's really easy to mask a lot of what we're actually feeling. And yeah, you're completely right. Everybody, even those of us that are lucky enough to still be working, we're not commuting. We're in our houses. We're in our relationships. People are with their children, you know, like, I mean, we're all just being like handcuffed to our own shit all of a sudden. And you can, you know, are even in the biggest house, like you're still with your own stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting in my own breathwork practice. It's been interesting in leading people because you're right. Everyone is like, I mean, so I can speak personally. I don't think I recognized until like 2 weeks into quarantine how extremely tired I was. I think my life, like I get up at like 6. I live with my girlfriend. She's a night owl. I go to bed at midnight because I wanted to hang out with her and just like do it all over again. Just get up and go. And right. And I'm not at a desk usually. Like I'm in front of people being encouraging and being, you know, upbeat. And like, I think by like the second week, I was like, I didn't even realize how tired I was because I hadn't stopped. I hadn't paused to even be less tired. Right. Like I hadn't stopped to like recognize that like this level that I was operating at was miserable and exhausting. And then I didn't have to get up at 6 to get to my 8 o'clock appointment. I could get up at 7. Or my clients are like, I'm no longer doing 8. I'd like to do 9:30. You know, like everybody's like deciding that it's time, it's their time to not be so effing stressed out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like suddenly I get to sleep. Like I hate driving. I don't drive anymore. Like it's these little things that so for me, those are good things, right? But I know for a lot of people, this quiet is bringing up a lot of loneliness. It's bringing up a lot of judgment, right? Especially with all the racial injustice that's going on. Like people are very like judgmental of themselves, of others. Like it's, you know, this whole fucked up juggling act that everyone's doing, trying to show they care, trying to, you know, change themselves, trying to care about if their neighbor's changing. Like I think the quiet time has really brought up a lot of stuff. I guess I'll not call it shit repeatedly. Is it annoying that I keep doing this, by the way? I keep trying to put the pin down.
I didn't even realize you were doing it.
Good. Okay.
I do that too. I'm such a clicker. I can't even have them around. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're so right. And I mean, it's just, it's such a complicated time. And I think in some ways I feel grateful for the things that I'm noticing and seeing now that I couldn't have seen before. And I think I'm holding that. And also it's horrible, like also wishing that coronavirus was not killing people, and also of course wishing that white supremacy didn't exist, but like that doesn't matter because it's all true and it's all here. So yeah, I think we're all also just like holding a lot and like all of these different things, and yeah, that's really hard. And breathwork is my tool for working with all of them.
Yeah, it's our a friend of mine said, she was like, well, it's good that you have things in your emotional toolbox. And I was like, is that a therapy term? Where did you learn that? Can I borrow it? But yeah, it's true, right? Like we all have our things. And that's, you know, it's been fun with, and I hate to even use the word fun. It feels irreverent, but I'll say it anyways. Because, you know, you have all of these like really fantastic healers that are like, never don't have email, you know, like show up out of the mountains at some yoga studio and teach a fabulous thing, right? And go back up the mountain and have no connection. They're all online all of a sudden. So like I've done these workshops like for that were supposed to be at like a tiny little yoga shop in San Diego, you know, like another, like a couple of the New York ones. Like I took a breathwork class from somebody, two people who were in the UK. That's the time that works for me. Their evening is like 2:30 East Coast time. Perfect, right? Like it's before my evening clients. I'm not, you know, it's there's some fun happening.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've been really enjoying taking classes at different spaces. Like right? Like at Heal House in New York, which I've never been to, and they're like doing all their stuff online. I'm just like, this is so cool. I wouldn't have done this otherwise. Like I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, my New York dance class that I can only afford to do like once a month when I like go up there and take two buses and something and whatever. Oh, they're online all of a sudden for like $40 a month. When I tell you I'm in my apartment, like just jamming,
yes,
dancing and like getting my stuff. It's great. Like it's really, I think that as much as we were all trying really hard to get away from our computers, right? Like, I feel like that's kind of where wellness was headed anyways. Like, there were, like, dating apps even that were, like, you know, we have, like, they were going back to kind of, like, the old school, like, speed dating, you know? Like, everybody was really taking these, like, get away from your phones, interact in person. Mm-hmm. And now COVID's hit and we're all like, well,
we have now.
Well, like, I hope some of this stays, right? Like, I mean, I'm definitely going to continue to lead breathwork online. And like, I hope a lot of people stay online. Like a couple of my friends who were like hell bent, they were just like, I will never lead groups online. I hate it. Blah, 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 blah. They're like, okay, I know what I said, but I think last night went really well. And I'm like, yay. Like this is access, you know, like this is accessibility for people. Like if you live in a town, maybe that isn't very spiritual, you can hop online and like connect with like the witch's confluence. Like it's amazing. If you couldn't afford to travel to a special event like Spirit Weavers, it's online this year. Like there are some glowy opportunities, I think.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. I mentioned that I grew up in Waldorf, and when I was a teenager, my family moved to Southern Delaware. And I think about like that town as an example, like no one is teaching breathwork there. There's not even yoga there. And like, it's amazing that all this stuff is online. Like as long as you have an internet connection, like my sister who still lives there can come to my breathwork class and she would
so
be
cool
otherwise. So yeah, it is really cool. And yeah. I like think it's interesting to think about how we're thinking about continuing to shift and how things will change even after Corona and we can be in person again.
Yeah, I wonder about that because like our fitness studios are still closed in DC. The very idea of putting a bunch of strangers in a room and telling them all to breathe through their mouths, right? Like how do we keep people safe? Like how do we, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think that's something that makes me sad. And I'm sure it's, yeah, just, I think if somebody was like, okay, this is going to suck for a little while. It's going to be super inconvenient. Things will end on this date. You can flip a switch and go back to normal. Wouldn't that be the best?
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Then we could all just tough it out and we'd be like, you know, we're tough enough. We can do this. We can, and everybody would do it. But the idea that like our world is changed forever, right? Like just forever, or at least the next couple years until I don't even know what the plan is, right? Like, yeah. I think that's what's sad, you know, for travel, for seeing friends, for breathing in person, for breathing on one-on-one with my clients, you know, when is that ever gonna come back to being a safe thing to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I just can't imagine that we're going to be breathing in person for a long time. And that does make me sad. That's definitely my favorite thing to do is lead breathwork groups in person.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And like everyone like contributing to the altar and getting to hug people and even the people that didn't speak to you when they walked in who like linger and I'm like, yes, I will definitely hug you. You know, like those are the fun moments. Those are the best. And like I have people in my groups that are like friends now, you know, like that's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what that looks like in our new virtual world. I don't know how we pull that together. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever done any of like the breakout rooms on Zoom?
I haven't like facilitated that, but I've participated in that happening with the breakout rooms. And it was actually pretty cool. Like I was impressed with how smooth and easy it was. And when I was doing it, it was like a breakout room for two people. So it was just like into a one-on-one situation. So I enjoyed that. I could totally see that becoming part of like the groups that I lead and like more part of other things because I mean, that's often part of my in-person groups is I'm like the worst and I'll have people do like eye gazing and stuff and they're like so uncomfortable, but then they love it. And all of that is like one-on-one, you know?
Let's see.
Oh yeah. I think you're frozen.
It's so funny. It had you in this like,
you looked so peaceful. You looked, I was like, is she frozen?
Or is she contemplating? It's me. That's never, ever the case.
Yeah.
I was like joking about that. Like a friend of mine, somebody referred to another person around me. They're like, oh, well, you know, she's super laid back. And I was like, do you know, I don't think anyone would ever say that about me. I was like, I know that's going to have to be okay. I'm okay with that. Like I have a lot of other great attributes, but I am definitely not the person who's people like, oh, she's super chill. No, no, ma'am. Nope, Aruski, that's not me.
Yeah. I'm like, I haven't been getting that vibe, but
but it's so weird. It's rare that I don't hear something and think, oh, I have that quality.
Mm.
That's just,
yeah.
It's not my thing.
What's your astrology? Do you know it?
Okay, I don't. It's so funny. I remember being I was somewhere at a training up in New York and I had to text my mom. I was like, hey, what time was I born? I'm like, she's like asked me like I've asked her more than once. I'm a Leo. I was born August 8th. But I don't know any of the other stuff. I feel like it's like I was born at like 6:46 or something. I still am not that like it. I just don't study astrology. Like I have people that will give me readings and they're always dead on, but I don't know.
I was just asking because I was like, let's dig into this like laid back thing. And I'm like, Leo is not chill. That's
No. But you know what? Like, again, there are other like really great attributes. Like if we're ever stuck on an island, I will be president. Don't worry. We don't even have to vote. I'll do it.
Fine. We need all the signs and all the qualities.
Exactly. So, you know, figure it out.
Well, so I want to switch gears and I want to ask you, because you brought this up when you were talking, like we have to talk about your background in religion. I would love to hear whatever you want to share about it and maybe how you feel about it now.
Yeah. So I grew up Adventist, which is, it's like, I guess the easiest way to describe it is that they're almost like Orthodox Jewish people without the food rules, I think is the easiest way to describe it. Adventists believe that the seventh day is the Sabbath, so that's Saturday. So the you know, it's Saturday, and then much like most religions, they like build buffers around each side to make sure you don't accidentally sin. So, you know, like Friday night starts, like sundown at Friday night, there's usually like a sundown service. like Friday night Vespers is what it was called. And then there was, you know, like you don't do anything secular for all day Saturday. They've gotten much more progressive at my old church that like, you know, people like wouldn't even cook. Like they'd like, you know, make all their food. So that way they just had to like heat it. It's like very, yeah, you know, like women weren't supposed to wear like pants to church. Like, again, this has all changed, which is funny because now like, you know, I'm not going, like, I'm trying to like not throw people under the bus. I'll just say I don't go. And my mom is still very religious. So my mom is always like, you know, will you come to church? I'm like, I don't have anything to wear. I'm not coming. You know, like, well, like, and she's like, I finally went, she was in town. My parents live in Los Angeles and she was in town for Christmas. And I finally was like, okay, I will go. I don't mind the Christmas service. It's all music. I still like music. I can do this. But yeah, it's, I think growing up Adventist was, it's, there's one perk I can say is that I think it's made me a better healer. In that I think I'm very, very sensitive to deifying people. I'm very sensitive to other healers or trainers who people want to immediately like hoist up on a fucking, you know, like stage and be like, we will, everything you do is perfect. I think it's giving me a really nice amount of skepticism, which I think is a good thing, because it is easy, I think, for people to really just follow down the path of someone who's maybe not there specifically for their greater good, you know, and I think it's helped me avoid harm. That said, being queer and growing up Adventist was definitely a struggle and is still to this day. I won't even like pretend that I've somehow managed to just like, you know, erase all of the like imprinting of 18 years of going to church 5 to 6 days a week in a religious school. Like, oh, you know, yeah. You kind of have to. Yeah, I went to Adventist school K-12. I mean, we were literally like, you know, Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday at church. Like, it was very like, very much, you know, get married to a man, have children, be a good wife. Those are the rules. That's your whole goal, you know? So I think my sister and I both kind of took different paths. Like neither of us went to Adventist college. And I think that was kind of a nice way to experience the rest of the world, to grow a little bit and learn good and bad lessons. But I think that was a good idea for both of us. So Yeah.
Can I ask, if you like, did you know while you were still in church that you were queer or?
Yeah, no. So I didn't start dating a woman until I was 35. And it's been 3 years, which has been really magical. But yeah, no. I mean, I think it didn't even occur to me, like, cause that's what, like you're going, like, this, I hate to be like, I don't want to trigger anybody. Like it was very much like, you know, and I think they've maybe amended some of their like strong language, but when I was in church, it was like Adam and Eve, that's the goal. Like anything else is a sin. Anything else is a choice. If you're choosing to sin, you're going to hell. Pray for these people. It was like really that simple. So no, like absolutely not. I remember like even like when I started like sort of dating my girlfriend now, I was just like, what the fuck am I gonna do about this? Like, I don't know. I was like, I'm gonna need a lot of therapy, I think. Like, you know, I need to like figure this out because I can't just walk around feeling like I'm going to hell. I know that's irrational, but that's what I think, you know, and like, I don't know how to fix that. So yeah, I know it's definitely, I think, a hard thing to do to like grow up religious and live a life of any sort of like, you know, not Adam and Eve skip off into the sunset, right? Like people who are divorced, people who have children before they get married, people who never get married. You know, I have like, I was cracking up. I saw an Instagram post where you were like, guess how many Bibles were in my childhood home? And I was like, and I was like, hold on, because I know there's like 5 in my room at home. I was like, hold on, let me figure out this count. I bet I'm going to win this. I was totally wrong. But I mean, like, even like when I was like in my 20s and like not, you know, dating really and just like really having a tough time dating, you know, I would get like, you know, Christmas presents of like, you know, the, you know, like the TD Jakes, you know, the single woman, God's promise to the single woman. Like, it's just like this. everyone has to fit a mold. And if you do not fit that mold, it's obviously your fault. You're not trying hard enough, you know? Which again, like I said, I think makes me a better healer, because when we start, like, you know, gaslighting and spirituality, like, oh, you have cancer, it's because you're not trying, you're not a good person. It's not better. Like, none of that's still a fucked up message. Like, that's not better, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so many thoughts. I can relate to a lot of what you're sharing. I think, yeah, definitely. I see the harmful things that I experienced in religion, or some of them perpetuated throughout spirituality, new age communities, and it's horrifying.
It's it's frozen.
Oh, am I back?
Yes. You said the things perpetuated in religion.
Yeah, like I've experienced so much of the harmful things that I experienced in religion, in spiritual and new age communities, and like,
not different.
Better. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not different.
No.
I think a lot too, when it comes to, like, this is the example that's coming to mind about sex, and there are all of these like weird messages in spirituality and like new age world about sex, and it's like, this is the same purity culture stuff, church stuff, just dressed up with like a new agey like spin on it. And I'm like, it's still shaming people. It's still saying you're not fitting into the mold. And it's just like, yeah, it's just horrible. And I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said like, you're supposed to fit into this mold. And when you don't, it's you, that's the problem. It's like you that's broken. And
yeah,
that was definitely my experience as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. When I first moved, when I came back from healer training, I remember I would like, again, like my roommates are like, we would have never ever crossed paths, right? Like one is like, she's a mom of two living in Michigan, and the other lives in like Northern California, like in, you know, Humboldt on a mountain somewhere. Like we were like such different people, but like just gelled so well. So when I got back to DC, I don't know. I'm obviously a grown up, but I was like, oh, I'm going to go find the healer community in DC, and then we're going to be friends too. And it made complete sense to me. It did. I was like, oh, this is exactly what it's like. I'm going to make friends, and then I'll have friends here, and I'll have no. And I remember I tried to go to like one of the like meditations or something, or like one of the like, you know, coven, are they called coven? What is it? The COVN, how's that pronounced? Anyways, like, one of them. Yeah, coven. Yeah. I tried to want to go to those, and I was like, oh, I don't, okay, this is it. I don't fit in here at all. Sorry, I guess people can't see my expressions, but like, I felt like such an outsider, like, and I felt like, people, it's funny, and I'll explain what my roommate said to me, but I was just like, oh, I don't fit in here. And I tried. I was like, I emailed people. I was like, we should do a collaboration. Like, I was like, so like green-eyed and happy. But you know, like I'm like a lot older than a lot of the people in the healer community in DC, well, that group that I was thinking I would join. And I'm actually, it's funny, I've gotten to know some of the women now, but I think that they were just a very like cautious community. So it was less me and just more caution. So again, like I know a lot of them now and it's not as wild as I thought it was. But yeah, I remember I called one of my roommates and I was like, I'm never going to make any friends. And now no one understands me. And she's like, Shauna, we can't all walk around in fucking white flowy dresses on a mountain somewhere. That's not you, honey. It's never going to be you. And I was like, okay, you're right. That's not me. She's like, okay, so then stop apologizing. It doesn't matter. If those people don't want to be your friends, then fuck them. You're great. And you don't worry. You'll find your community. And I was like, okay, like, you have to have those people that are like those awesome pep talkers.
You need them.
Yeah, not a ton of there, you know. a lot more of like, you know, no, here's what you're seeing and this is what it is. But yeah, like I think religion and definitely spirituality, I think people are very eager to, I think people in both situations are searching for something that they are missing. And we've all been there, and I don't judge that. I'm probably still searching for things that I'm missing. And maybe that's going to be an always process. But I think that when people are very desperate, or desperate's not the word I want to use, but I think when they're very eager to find a new flock, I think that that's when people start to pick a mold, you know, pick a saying, pick a, you know, a way of dressing, pick a whatever. And they're like, oh, good, I'm part of this now. And I think that's hard in the healer community. It's definitely hard in spirituality. I mean, in like, you know, religion, when you're like, oh, this is me, sort of, I agree with y'all, but I was thinking I'd be over here. And everyone's like, oh no, you need to get in this box or else you're not one of us. And, you know, I think that's what's hard, because it's really discouraging to not be part of that box. And you think, well, maybe I'm on the wrong path. And you might not be, you know, you might just not be someone that fits in fucking boxes. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. And I do think, like, I feel like what you're saying is so tender. It's like, we all want to belong. We all want to be loved. Like, we all want to have people who see us and love us as we are. It's like, that's so universal and so human. And
yeah.
It hurts when we don't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we all want to know we're not the only one. We all want to know that that somebody else does this weird thing, that somebody else, like, we all want to know that at least one other person in our nearby radius agrees with us. And yeah. And I think a lot of people either decide, maybe they all agree, or maybe they let go of what they agree with and they follow the stronger person, the louder voice.
Yeah. Oh, I love this conversation so much. I'm like, I have to ask you the last question, but I don't want to. but I am going to ask you the last question that I ask on the show, which is just, what does living open mean to you?
I think it means being unapologetic. Yeah. Living open means being unapologetic to others and to yourself. Yeah. That's what I think.
That feels just like those boxes, like being unapologetic about whatever boxes we do or don't fit into. It's like, this is us. Yeah.
This is it, right? I am open. This is me. And I accept me. And if you choose to accept me, awesome. If you don't, please get out of my way. Don't block my fucking sunshine. I'm like, just
step aside.
Yeah. I would say, I think that's a hard thing to do, though, because, like, nobody really wants to feel that way. But I think even if you are mainstream everything, there's going to be one thing in your life, or two, or 15, or 1,000, where you're like, well, this isn't, you know, this isn't the same. And I think living open is being okay with that.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Coming to that process of acceptance for yourself, too.
So hard.
Yes.
So hard. It's funny, I have, like, you know, my mom and my dad really, like, love me and want me to do, like, a lot of things. So, like, they want me to be a lot of things. And my dad's adjusted a little bit, but, like, for a long time, he'd send me, like, you know, like, job things, like, you know, do you want to do this? And it's just because he, like, wanted me to be safe. He wanted me to be cared for. He wanted me to have stability, which that's a perfectly normal thing for a parent to want. Yeah. But yeah, I think, like, having to, like, just deal with that constantly and know that, you know, this isn't the path you want me on and this is where I am was really interesting for me to deal with when I was, like, 20 something. And I, like, by 30, I was like, I don't care what you think, you know, I don't care. And it's interesting now because I have a lot of my friends that are, you know, my age or a little bit older. They're, like, kind of in their 40s and they're like, I sort of think I want to do something else in my life. You know, everyone's kind of re-examining themselves. And now suddenly they're on the page I was, like, years ago. And, like, you know, my parents told me I need to save my job. I was like, oh, you're going to have to let that go. Like, I'm telling you now, like, just tell them that you love them and that you are so grateful they care this much about you, but that you're going to have to walk on your own path and just, you're going to have to let that go. Maybe you're going to disappoint them. It might happen. I'm shocked. This is the first time.
Yeah, right?
Bravo. What a fab life you've led, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of disappointing people, too, is something I've been thinking about a lot. And, like, I've had to disappoint several people this past month, like, recently. And it has always come down to, like, someone has to be disappointed. It's either going to be me or it's going to be them. And, like, I'm going to choose them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Most people come around. I will stand firmly and say that it may not, I mean, it's not all of us live in this land where, you know, we have this TV moment, you know, where, like, our parents or that person we disappointed, they're like, you know, I was wrong and I do love you. Maybe that shit's not going to happen, right? But maybe things get less tense. Maybe they stop making, you know, little pointed comments, right? Like, and claim that success, right? Take it, claim it. Like, oh, this was a success. I spoke my mind. I lived my life. She stopped making shitty comments to me on holidays. This is a win, you know? Like, maybe it's never going to be like a, you know, a greeting card. Mm-hmm. Might not be.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Right. It's maybe not going to be.
Yeah. And we can honor the little things and let that be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, celebrate that. Like, wow, the crappy comments have stopped. You know, the when are you getting married have stopped. Thank goodness. Great. Yeah. You know, that's great. Just I'm seriously claim that as a victory. Like, no, maybe you're not best friends, but that's okay. Yeah. You know, you've stopped there. The harm has subsided a bit. So great.
Yeah.
Kind of see it that way.
Shauna, can you please tell everyone where they can find you and follow you and maybe anything that you have coming up that you want to share?
Oh, yeah. So you can find me. It's a super creative business name, Shauna Bryant, everywhere. And fun fact, my name is spelled with a C. It's C-H-A-U-N-A. That's trickier to find. But yeah, it's just my name. It's ShaunaBryant.com. I'm at Shauna Bryant on Instagram. I think I'm even that on YouTube. I do have a few projects that are coming out soon. I've been doing some recordings and I plan to release them for sale on my website. And I don't know, there's a lot going on outside of that that I can't talk about yet. But yeah, there's a lot going on. So there will be great things coming. Yeah, sorry to be vague.
No, I'm intrigued.
I'll tell you off of the thing.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Because I don't know what. I'll tell you about it. Okay. But that's it. Yeah, you can find me, and I'm leading virtual groups. I'm leading like usually one a week. I do IG lives, which is really a fun thing for me, considering that I like to have things in control. And Instagram lives are not in my control. Like people can just come in and out, and it's been really interesting for me. But I keep getting like every Instagram live, I'm like, I'm never doing this again. That was awful. I get these messages from people I'm like, you follow me? Who knew? You know? And they're like, oh, thank you so much for that. It's really great that you're accessible. So I've decided, you know, to just let my control needs relax a little, because it seems like the Instagram lives are really a nice way for people to have just like a little moment of breathwork break, a little bit of reprieve. And so I've been doing those like twice a week also.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you so much for being here and for everything you shared.
Yeah, glad to do it. It was a fun conversation.
Yeah.
It's always cool to talk to the ex-religious girls. I feel like we should start our own Facebook group.
I think yes, definitely.
There are a lot of us out there.
Thank you for being here. I love you. You are why I make this show. Definitely check out Shauna's work, breathe with her, follow her on Instagram, all of those things. And I'll be back on Monday with another interview. Stay tuned. Stay in touch on Instagram @ERYNJ_ or Patreon. Until then.